about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Tell me when you guys are ready.
Yeah, sure. I think we're all.
You guys need sound levels? You all good?
Yeah, just a little bit more.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, we'll dive right in here. Thanks again for taking the time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You follow sports?
Oh my God, sports! I love them.
Who are your favorite teams?
I like smaller teams, like the not the big leagues. I like the Long Island Mediums, the Acorn Pine Cones.
I haven't heard
the
of
the Fire Island Penguins. I like the Cincinnati Thunder Wizards.
You can stop.
The Orlando Blooms.
And now,
babe, the oven's ready. Chop chop, time to get bacon. Daddy want pie.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 19th of November.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
Good.
Good, yeah, doing well. You're saying this as if you're not doing well.
Well, I mean, just in that I watched the TV show last night that
right.
we're going to talk to the guy about today.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Kings of Pain.
Kings of Pain, yeah.
And these are people that get bitten and stung.
Mm-hmm.
On purpose.
Right.
That's the goal of the TV show.
Basically, they are updating a pain index, which was done by a, I guess, some sort of animal doctor in 1983. They want to be able to make a more comprehensive, I guess, survey of these animals and what the pain is like when you get stung or bitten.
Here's the part of the show.
Ready to do this? I just want to get it over with. It's just surreal that there's a 16-foot python in here, and I'm going to let it bite my arm.
So mm-hmm. a huge python.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal is to have it bite him.
Yeah.
I mean, they force it.
They force it to
in
bite
In certain
him.
Cases, yeah. they'll have like a sea life that has very sharp edges, and then they will just basically push their arm into the edges.
They're not smart.
Yeah. At least after one of them does it, and he's in intense amounts of
my
pain.
My favorite part.
The other guy's like, guess it's my turn.
Yeah.
Like, what are you two doing?
Or the guy that... Or
dumb idea.
And the guy that's in pain is like, oh my God, this hurts so much. Okay, let's do it to you.
Right.
Only guys do that, by the way, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's only a guy thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man. The damage this snake can inflict is massive.
You ready?
Yeah. If this thing latches on, it's going to get very serious, very quickly. Oh, the head's out. That's a big head. The best outcome is big puncture wounds in our arm that bleed a lot.
That's the best outcome.
Best outcome.
Yeah.
That's if all goes well.
This yeah. is proof that dudes are stupid. Like
we
no
need
women,
more proof, but
no women would ever make
yeah,
this show. They would never host it. They would say this is stupid.
Yeah.
Why would we do this? It's proof.
Or a woman would host it. There'd be one sting or bite, and they'd be like, "Let's wrap this
yeah,
up.
I don't need to do this show
this
anymore.
This is stupid.
I got stuff to do."
Worst case scenario, we can die.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
In
if
every
that's
case,
worst case scenario, you can die.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'm out. That's where you make the decision. Oh, I could die.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to do this.
But if we're honest, worst case scenario today, doing this job,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
I could die.
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean,
how?
Absolutely. Heart attack.
The construction that you hear over the microphones every
true.
Once in a while.
Yeah, that speaker could fall on my head.
Yeah.
Right.
A crazy person could just walk in and punch me right in that part in your face that connects with your brain and then you're dead.
You mean the nose bone?
Yeah.
Pushed up into the brain.
Oh, yeah. What's that song?
I'd love to die like
Shook?
That. I'd love to die
Never
like
mind.
That.
All right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not...
Best
it's,
case scenario, puncture wounds and a lot of bleeding.
I mean, best case scenario.
Best case.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Worst case death.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And they have a medic. They have a medic nearby that checks
who does
their,
nothing.
Yeah, he just
nothing.
Basically checks their
the,
pulse.
The most yeah. worthless medic ever.
Like every now and then, I'll give him a warning. Like, hey guys, not sure about this.
Also, small really? Note: I'm not a medic. I'm an actor from Encino.
They gave me a black polo shirt.
Yeah, I have a stethoscope. That's it.
To be fair, he did one time say, "I'm not sure I would do that again."
That's it.
I mean, it's sound medical advice. Glad he is there.
The show is called Kings of Pain, and we're going to talk to Rob Caveman Oliva.
Yeah. Self-taught, by the way. And I was like, what did you teach yourself? Just to get bit? I'm so confused.
Everyone's self-taught.
Yeah, I'm self-taught to get bit.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We gotta figure
get
this
to
guy
bottom
out.
Bottom of this.
That was a dumb idea.
But the other guy has an accent, so that's cool.
Mm. Allie was emailing during off hours that she was mad that we didn't get the Australian because she
like,
wanted to meet
oh,
him.
We got the dumb American.
Well, mm-hmm. They're both idiots.
True, but an idiot with an accent.
Right.
By the way, I tweeted last night, this is a BS show. Mm-hmm. We're having a BS person on, and we're going to talk about this BS show. And apparently, History Channel saw that, and they were wait, we don't want our guys to walk into like an ambush.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yeah, so Dave texted me, he's like, you were joking, right? And I was like, yeah, totally joking. I'm 100% with this guy.
I love the idea that that's what they think is dangerous for this guy, walking into a right. radio show, not getting him poisoned by snakes.
I also love the idea that History Channel is even reading Kevin's tweets.
Right? Yeah.
That can't be good.
I mean, they're pretty accurate,
that
historically.
Was a dumb idea!
Historically.
Let's talk about the rest of today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're talking out of your ass, dummy.
Oh. Very true. The worst weddings you've been to?
Yeah.
We're gonna take your calls. We have K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas Night 1 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
We have Who's the Dick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's going to be Jensen.
Yeah.
Do we need to do it or should we just
I think we should at least
call
go
it now.
Through with the segment. Nope. Go through with the segment.
Fartgate.
It's serious, you
it's
guys.
It's a big deal.
It was the number one trend on Twitter. Mm-hmm. There are conspiracy theories flying around. Dare I say, Fartgate... It brought the nation closer together last
night.
Did it?
Wow, and finally
it's
something.
It's not often that a fart could bond people together.
Since
usually
the election,
it spreads
yeah.
them apart.
Since the election, it is yeah. the first thing on cable news we can all agree on.
Absolutely.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
And also at 7 o'clock this morning, we have Beck.
Yeah.
In studio.
Yay!
Very excited about that. We'll take a break. We will come back. From the 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for our first look at what's happening for the day. Here's Allie.
You guys see Kanye West's Twitter?
Did not.
Jensen did.
Yeah.
I can tell by that sigh.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye tweeted out a picture of him with Dr. Dre and wrote, Jesus is King, Part 2, coming soon.
That was a dumb idea!
Which
really?
Is pretty shocking, you guys. Of course, Jesus is King released less than a month ago. He's been promoting it everywhere.
Hail Satan.
Every station doing his Sunday service as well.
Did it with Joel Osteen this weekend.
Yeah. What?
That mega preacher guy?
Yeah.
Yep.
Really?
Kanye and him had a sermon together? Is that what you would call it?
I don't know. I
don't know. This will never happen because both of them are the hip hop's biggest procrastinators ever.
Yeah.
Right? So they always vote for them for years. I hope it doesn't come out. This would be a real bummer if the one thing Dre wants to do is a gospel record with Kanye. And not because it's gospel, but because it sucks.
Yeah.
That album was bad. It's not good.
I mean, I think a lot of white dudes that buy his shoes would disagree with
you. Well, let them tell me then.
Okay.
Because it's not. I'm down for good gospel music. Mm-hmm. Sure, I'm good. I'm down with
baby,
anything.
I'm awesome.
This is not good.
This,
is,
this
also. I'm also awesome. Y'all know.
I'd rather have that.
Chick-fil-A.
Same.
I will say this about any video I see coming out of the Sunday service shows.
Mm-hmm.
The choir he has.
Well, it's because they're
is
great.
Incredible.
Yeah. Yes, I wish the record was just them.
I wish he would just, kind of focus on them, let them sing. But
Remember
so
when he was on Acoustic Christmas 6 years ago, 7 years ago, Kanye was.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
he
really?
Brought in the USC marching band and everything. It was really amazing. But that was before.
Yeah,
you
that's
know.
The old Kanye.
Yeah, the old Kanye.
I didn't know Kanye played Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was he announced or was he a surprise?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
All right.
I think it was a surprise, Dave is saying in my headphones, so maybe that's what it was. But
when
he came out, it was crazy good.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because it was before the gospel stuff.
Yeah, or just insanity.
Right,
yeah.
That too.
Well, obviously no word yet on what part two will consist of, but he, being Kanye, has promised to only do gospel from here on out, so it will likely continue in that trend.
Cool, why not?
Dre. Interesting.
Bringing people down with him is not what I want to see.
And the picture is just so goofy.
It's a bum out.
Dre looking so goofy.
And happy.
Like happy, yeah. Pointing back at Kanye, who just typically looks miserable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun day, you guys.
Good times.
But I usually don't do any Kardashian stories, but I feel like this one is worth it. Because Kylie Jenner and cosmetics brand Coty has announced that they've entered into a, quote, long-term strategic partnership in order to jointly build and further develop Kylie's existing beauty business into a global powerhouse brand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did she do that? She sold 51% of her company to Coty. That's Kylie Cosmetics and Kylie Skin for $600 million yesterday.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
The sale valued the company at almost $1.2 billion. So we can say what we will about that family.
Wow.
Kylie Jenner just made $600 million in a day.
I mean, if you would have had to predict which one of those girls is going to be the billionaire, she's like the last one I would have put on the list.
I don't even know.
Well, she's like
she
a dumb. No personality, really.
Yeah.
I just know she's with Travis Scott. I've never watched the show or anything, but I know enough to know she's kind of the quiet one.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe.
Always the quiet ones.
Maybe.
Everybody's always. Like, if that family would just shut up, I'll pay money.
Right? The rest of them are like, blah, blah, blah. We hate them. But quiet one just stealthily moves in and she's like, buy my lipstick. Line up for it. You were saying that you had to go with your kids to the mall or something for a pop-up.
I saw it also.
Yes.
That truck outside.
Inside the store.
Oh, I saw one outside in the truck.
It was a Sephora store or something
so
like that. There was a line all the way around the mall.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I didn't even know what it was for.
Same mall. Another day, I saw a huge truck outside, like an RV with her name on it, and there were kids lined around the block just to get to the RV.
What happened in the RV?
Right?
I think they're cooking meth.
What?
Yeah. That's why she's so rich.
Yikes. All right. I don't think that's
van?
What. Yeah,
in the RV? Oh, I didn't think of that.
She's probably like a teenager at the time.
Oh.
I didn't think of that.
My bad.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow. So yeah, congrats for that. Maybe you could pay Kanye not to do another gospel album.
Because baby, I'm awesome. No. Also.
No. He is awesome.
No. I'm also awesome.
Y'all know.
He's not.
Y'all don't know. Guys. I'm not sure anyone saw this coming. I think people thought it's going to be delightful and sweet because Kelly Clarkson is delightful and sweet. But her show is a hit.
Is it?
Good.
You guys. Yeah, she will be sticking around daytime TV because she has been picked up for 2020-21. It's an early pickup, you guys, because she has performed solidly in ratings over the first 2 months. She's averaging 1.9 million daily viewers since its September 9th premiere.
That's a lot.
That's the strongest start for a first-year syndicated talk show in 7 years. She's coming in fourth behind Dr. Phil, Live with Kelly and Ryan, and Ellen. I mean, that's incredible, you guys. And the show airs on more than 200 local stations covering virtually 100% of the country. So,
I don't really watch daytime TV talk shows, but she does seem incredibly likable.
She is
absolutely incredibly likable. She does. I've watched it. First, I watched her opener because I had to. It's Kelly Clarkson.
Sure.
But she does this now every show. She does Kelly-oke at the beginning of the show, and her and the audience. You know how like Ellen comes out and dances, which to me nothing is more cringy than seeing her dance and staring at the audience and they're dancing back at her. Honestly, I'm not sure why it drives me bonkers, but it drives me nuts and makes me so anxious.
Scratch dance party from night number one.
Oh, okay, God. Right. Kelly Clarkson, however, comes out and does Kelly-oke. And she does a song, and she does karaoke, and then the audience is just singing and enjoying it with her, and it's just kind of sweet. What I'm saying is I am okay with Kelly Clarkson singing. I'm not okay with people dancing.
Got it.
Thank
writing
you.
This down.
Just the announcer for her show.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
And then she comes out.
And then she comes out? That is so nice.
Yep.
Well, Steve Carell's just doing that Apple show. Other than that,
not much.
Yeah. Some birthdays for you guys. We have got Matt Sorum, formerly Guns N' Roses, and of course Velvet Revolver, Meg Ryan, Larry King, Allison Janney, Jodie Foster, and Adam Driver.
Far away from Beck, join us in studio.
Woo-hoo!
Very excited about that.
Yes.
Plays night number one.
He's a cool dude.
Allie, what you got for us?
I believe, play it.
Fartgate.
2019.
Guys.
I'm not positive what this is.
Here's the thing. Okay. I said to Kevin, hey, should we skip what we're going to do at 6:35 and do Fartgate? And he said, I don't know what it is, but yes. Because that is the correct answer.
Right.
Because for one beautiful night, Fartgate united all of Twitter. That is a headline,
it's
you guys.
It's never happened.
Fartgate united all of Twitter. What exactly is Fartgate?
Please.
Well, during a live interview on MSNBC's Hardball, host Chris Matthews was discussing the latest impeachment hearing with a representative, Eric Swalwell. Here's the thing. The guy is in the middle of talking, and all of a sudden you hear a sound that can only be described as, holy crap, he just let one rip. Here it is.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard...
That was added.
No.
It sounds like it was added
because it's too loud.
It's so perfect and so loud. Here's
what?
The thing.
It's so loud you can smell it through the TV.
What?
Play it again for people out there that are thinking, I didn't hear what I just heard.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard...
Was it the guy talking? Because it seems like he took a little break.
Here's where the conspiracy starts. Mm-hmm. This was one of my favorite tweets. When it first happened, a guy named Mike Drucker wrote, me, in an overcoat, talking to a journalist in a dark parking garage. You really think it was Eric Swalwell who farted on Hardball? Hands over envelope. Connect the dots. Then it just started going back and forth with people like this guy. I've isolated and slowed the moment of the fart. You can clearly see Swalwell brace forward, tense up for a moment, and then relax. He dealt it. Because then there were conspiracies. Wait. Maybe it was Chris Matthews back at the studio. That's why it was so loud.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because he did it at the desk.
Can you play it one more time? Because I hear it being stuffled, like stifled by a chair. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's hear it again.
Okay.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Like I hear
and the complaint
the
that I've...
vibration of a chair.
Well, that's where this conspiracy comes in.
Okay.
It's Matthews. It's a sitter. You can hear the upholstery. Matthews waited for Stallwell to start speaking, thinking he'd have an opening because production usually mutes there. Mm-hmm. He went for the rip, but production was late for the button, and voila.
Mm-hmm. That's insane.
It's a good theory.
Then somebody at CNN said, Thread, I hate to let the air out of these fartgate theories, but the immutable laws of physics clearly point to Chris Matthews as the culprit. For one, Swalwell's mic wouldn't likely have picked up in that noisy live shot location. She brings up the point that unless you're telling me that the thing literally bounced through the echoey Capitol building to be that clear.
That would have been a hell of a fart.
Yeah, but let's not rule it out.
Let's not rule it out, but she too believes...
We have to take in all evidence.
Everything.
Yes,
uh-huh.
She too believes it's Matthews that let it rip. And this guy said, as a guy who has reveled for years in the fact that Chris Matthews loves to blast hot clouds on live TV...
Does he do it a lot?
I'm just here to clear Eric Swalwell's name. I feel like if you look at Chris Matthews, you know he farts.
He looks like a farter.
Like, first of all, he's full of hot air. That's just him.
Right.
But he just... You know when you can look at someone and go... That dude has gas.
Well, that's what it sounded like to me. Whoever was talking, I don't even know who it was, took a break and then came back and finished their sentence.
Well that's Eric Swalwell. Oh, that is the guy at the live shot that's doing it.
Let's hear it. Can we hear it again?
Absolutely.
No, please.
Let's play it one more time.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. The complaint that I've heard...
It is clear in the election, it sounded like.
Yeah, he does pause.
Does pause, and then there are people that have slowed it down, and you see him tense up and do it. Here's where Hardball weighs in.
Okay.
First, with the tweet that they deleted, which bums me out so much. You know the meme of the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other?
Yes.
They posted that, then deleted it. It's the greatest meme to post for this situation ever. I'm so mad at those people.
And this is after Representative Swalwell tweeted that it was not him.
It was not him.
I love that they had to actually answer that question.
He was the first to speak.
Wasn't me.
Swalwell was the first to go, wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
However, Hardball tweets this. Sorry to disappoint the conspiracy theorists. It was the hardball mug scraping against the desk.
What?
Get yours today and let's get back to news. No. With a link to buy a mug. And people were like, of all sounds on earth, it was the least like a mug on a desk. Play it again and see if you think it sounds like a mug dragging.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Not a mug.
And the complaint that
no way is that a mug.
Now, listen, we don't know what kind of desk they have.
Right.
We don't know exactly what mug. But we have a desk in front of us.
Okay.
We have a mug in front of us.
Right.
Jensen, I'm going to
go
first.
Yeah.
Here's mine. Yeah, no. That's just a slide.
That was a wind fart.
That's a
that
slide.
Was not a real fart. Okay, here's
okay.
mine.
All right. That's nothing like it.
DJC no, that, trip. What are you
was,
doing right
that
now?
That was scratchy. That was scratchy. Okay. But that was not a fart.
Let's play it one more time and see if possibly it could be that.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard...
Not possible.
It's not a mug.
It's
and
not
then
a mug.
People were saying, no, it's probably a phone that vibrated on the desk.
Nope.
No way.
Uh-uh.
That is a fart. And let's just
and
let
a, damn good one.
Fart
I know.
Unite us as a people. We've needed something for so long just to bring us together as a nation. And I'm just going to say right now, if it's a fart... Let it be a fart.
Fart 2020! Fart 2020!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51, just after 7. Beck joins us in studio. Very excited about that. First, what's happening, Allie?
Kevin, I know you don't watch the news because you're a kid.
Right.
But did you hear the Jeopardy news yesterday?
I did not, no.
I mean, come on, Kevin. This is huge. The three top winners in Jeopardy history... are set to compete against each other during a primetime event in January.
Is it Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was announced Monday that Jeopardy alums Ken Jennings, Brad Rutter, and James Holzhauer will vie for the title of GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
The first competitor to win three matches will receive $1 million and the title of Jeopardy Greatest of All Time. The two other contestants... losers will each receive $250,000.
Wow. It's a win just for going on that show.
You guys, this is huge. And just seeing how Jeopardy's numbers went up when James Holzhauer was going for his big wins, this is going to do gangbusters.
Is he
going to
destroy?
No.
No,
I don't think
so.
No. I don't have him as the win.
Okay. No. Who do you have?
I have Ken Jennings.
Okay.
It's going to come down to knowledge, not a gimmick of, you know, the gameplay.
Well, A, the gimmick of gameplay changed the game of Jeopardy
which
forever.
It did. Agreed.
So how dare you?
Agreed, but Ken Jennings
dare you
comes with
smirched.
A knowledge that goes beyond the gimmick.
No, Brad Rutter comes
That's who
with
you
the
have.
Knowledge. Do you know who Brad Rutter is?
I've watched him play, yes. I still think it's Ken Jennings.
He's the all-time winningest. He's only lost to a computer, Watson. It's the only person who's
well,
not a person.
Right.
That he has lost to. Okay, let's go through. Let's break it down.
Okay.
James Holzhauer, record holder for all 15 of the top single game winnings.
Yes. Quite a
he
run.
Was, yeah, quite a run. $2,712. $2,712,216.
Go ahead. $216.
That's his total.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Your boy Ken Jennings.
Who I love.
Record 74 game winning streak.
Kind of the
Huge.
OG. Kind of the OG.
Well, no.
Well, I mean, as far as like getting that kind of pop culture press, he was the guy.
You weren't watching when Brad Rutter was playing.
Pop culturally.
All right, go on.
His winnings total $3,370,700. Brad Rutter holds the title for the most money ever won by a contestant. He has never lost Jeopardy to a human opponent because he lost to Watson, the IBM computer.
Did they bring that in just to get rid of him?
Pretty much.
$4,688,436.
I don't think you understand how good that guy
was. All right,
was.
Let's put. I'm putting it on Jennings.
Okay.
You're
going to
go with Brad?
I think I'm going to put it on Brad, but my heart belongs to James Holzhauer. I'm not
well,
going to lie to you.
You got to pick one.
I'm not
going to
lie.
We're
going
to have to all bet on this.
I don't watch the show, so I'll take whoever you guys don't take.
Okay,
right,
so
I'm gonna need some time to really sit
okay,
with this.
Think it out.
Right.
When is it being aired?
In January.
All right, we got time.
It's going to air between January 7th and January 16th. But this is...
Sounds like there's going to have to be a stake on this bet.
This is my Super Bowl.
I'm not wearing a goddamn suit, though. I'm just telling you that right now.
You never know.
It's not happening again.
I mean, this is big news, you guys. I know even if you don't watch Jeopardy, you're like, I don't care. But it's pretty big news.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Think about it.
I'm in on the bet. And I don't even know him.
Yep. Gavin's just in for the
That's
fun.
How I bet.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Do I think Ken Jennings would be a great eventual replacement for Alex Trebek?
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Okay. But that doesn't mean he wins the GOAT.
No. No.
Okay.
I don't think he does.
All right.
But you know that bastard's just studying right now.
Yeah. Those dudes. They're there to play.
It's insane. Guys, did the Postal Service dox Santa?
What?
Yeah, you heard me.
Did they what?
You know how you often go to the post office and you see like a separate mailbox letters for Santa?
Yeah, and all you have to do is put Santa Claus North Pole on
it. All you have to do is do that. You just drop the letters in. Well,
I've been doing it for years. What's wrong with it?
Absolutely. Guess what? The post office just revealed exactly where he lives. For the first time ever,
why would they give out his
address? USPS has revealed Santa's address, which is 123 Elf Road, North Pole, 88888. They doxed Santa, you guys.
So how, they just tell you that's what you have to send it to?
That's what you have to do. But here's the thing. It's a beautiful thing. They launched Operation Santa, which fulfills wish lists for needy children. So they release Santa's official address to help kids make sure that their wish lists are delivered. They also released letter writing kits that include templates, letter tips, and a primer on envelope technique. Nerds! Like, what is that all about? Somewhere Bean has a boner. But my gosh. What?
Does he need an address?
Santa?
Just put Santa's... North Pole.
Well, this is in conjunction with the release for helping out needy kids.
It does make it seem a little more difficult.
Kids need
for kids.
It's like, especially if they're needy, they don't need to write more.
Right. So. Like, what if they don't remember that address? You know, they remember Santa.
They can still write Santa North Pole, okay. And he'll get it.
Yeah, except the kids with no arms. They need help. They can't write more.
They can't write any.
They can't write at all.
What just happened?
Quite the example.
Well, I'm just saying
you gave and
if we're trying to help kids that are in need,
okay.
Kids with no arms clearly cannot write more or anything.
That went south so fast.
We're gonna.
It's true, sir.
We're just gonna wrap this up with some birthdays.
Kick back his left.
Isn't that creepy? Beck has had it, you guys. Some birthdays, though, for you. We've got good people. Like Alice and Janney. Adam Driver. I told you my favorite tweet ever about Adam Driver, right? Adam Driver is like if you tried to draw Keanu Reeves from memory. It's so good. All right. Did I mention Larry King?
I'm up.
Tonight, Snoop Dogg gets real and keeps it crack-a-lackin'.
That's true.
Did you hear him rap at the beginning?
Yeah, he was like stuttering.
That was awesome. Matt Sorum, happy birthday.
Night number one of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas is The Head and the Heart and Catfish and the Bottlemen and Cold War Kids, Angels and Airwaves, Young the Giant, Jimmy Eat World, Cage the Elephant, and our next guest, Beck, who joins us in studio.
Hey!
Hola. Yeah.
Hola, Beck. How are you?
Hola. I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You and K-Rock have gone back a long ways.
A ways.
Yeah. I remember doing breakfast with you at the...
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
John Anson Ford Theater. Yes. And you were playing live, and I don't know what happened, but you disappeared up into the hill, into the trees. And I was
up
like,
in the mountain.
I was like, is he leaving? I don't even know what's happening.
You know, I grew up in L.A. hiking. You know, I'm all about... I see those hills, and I hike. That's what I do.
But you were playing.
I had also just gotten a wireless microphone for the first time.
Oh, so you're just testing it out.
You're just testing it out.
Yeah, just doing some long-range testing.
Okay.
He's like, this doesn't work at Runyon. Never again am I taking
it. I've tried it. 2014 Weenie Roast. You did Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
What song was it? I'm sorry, I can't remember.
I mean, we went for the jugular. We went for Billie Jean.
Billie Jean, yeah.
Insanity.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Insanity.
Yeah.
And also, I wanted to bring up, just before we get to your new album, which comes out this Friday, I do want to mention the Paisley Experience.
Right, yeah.
Please explain the Prince
covers. Okay, so we got invited to Paisley Park, which is Prince's studio complex in Minneapolis.
Has anyone else ever recorded there since?
No, I think we're the first ones.
I think so, too.
Since he's passed. And so it was meaningful, yeah. And they asked us to do some Prince songs. We couldn't pick any. We couldn't pick just one, so we ended up doing like five.
Bat Dance, clearly.
We went straight for Bat Dance.
Classics only. It's just Beck doing Bat Dance six times in a row.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I play a small clip?
Yeah, please do.
All right. I got to be honest, it looked like you were having a fantastic time.
We're having a good time, yeah. And it was a high wire walk because we didn't rehearse any of that.
Sure.
You didn't?
No, as you can hear.
Because your band just...
My performance there is just a notch above karaoke.
Come on. Like... But do you ever look back, at this point I'm sure, 7 Grammys in and stuff, like, but playing at Paisley Park, like if I would have told 11-year-old you that was even a possibility, could you have even fathomed the idea?
No, couldn't fathom it. You know, and I had a few run-ins with Prince over the years, but I think I
run-ins
was a bit...
sounds like fights,
which would be a good battle.
Yeah, it was definitely like security guards in between.
I see, okay. right, but holding you back.
Yeah, I got invited to a party at his house once, which I guess about 10 or 15 years ago, he rented a house in the hills somewhere.
That was like his after party after a show. Right?
I think it was, I think it was something Grammys or something. And what I'd heard was he replaced all the carpets in the house with purple carpets.
Yes, on a rental.
Oh, that's the
best.
And he
put a stage in the living room.
Yes.
And it was a permanent jam session. So I was heading over there, and then my friend called me and said he kicked everybody out.
Oh, man, that would have sucked.
So that would have been
still should have showed up like, I have Snapples.
I did, and I did also get called out on stage once.
By him?
He was doing a showcase for journalists in London, and he was playing in the middle of the afternoon, and I was with my record company. He goes, you want to go see Prince? I'm like, what, now? Like 4 in the afternoon? Sure, why not?
Sure, why not, yeah.
So we go down there, and they drop us in the door, like on the side of the stage. So I walk in, and the whole audience is looking at us. Like, they take us to the front row, and then someone jabs me, and then Prince is pointing at me. He's like, get up on stage.
Oh.
He's like pointing at me, get up here. And I'm wearing like jeans and some Nikes, you know, like I'm not.
I don't feel like he cared.
Yeah. He didn't care. And so I jumped up there, and he said something like, show us what you got.
Oh,
wow.
That's my nightmare.
Right, same.
That's literally a nightmare I've had.
Show us what you got.
And I don't. With those particular shoes, it was just a jam. Yeah. I don't remember the actual song, but...
Wait, it was the shoe that you remember?
Couldn't really do anything with those shoes.
He wanted you to dance. That was really the goal?
I could play basketball, but I couldn't do moves. Mm. So I sort of feebly just did a soft shoe and then moonwalked off the stage.
Like one does.
In humiliation, yeah.
How do you feel about playing these multi-band festivals? Like we have Cage the Elephant, Jimmy Eat World, Young the Giant, a whole bunch of different bands.
I love it.
You like that? Do you hang out with other band members?
I'm one of those artists who hangs out. I don't lock myself in the dressing room for 4 hours doing yoga.
They're not doing yoga, by the way, the rest of them.
That's what I thought. That's what they said they were
doing. No, that's not what they're doing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yoga is very expensive these days.
But you like playing them?
I do, yeah. It's like a reunion. I mean, it's great to play for your own audience, but there's something about playing festivals. You're playing a lot of people who don't really even know your music.
Is it a feeling where I need to win them over?
It's just like a new, you know, it's just different energy. It's like, and you have to kind of, it's like when you're first starting out playing the open mic night, nobody knows who you are kind of thing. But it's also the sort of build up of energy of the other band's performances. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm inspired by that. I just toured this summer with Cage the Elephant and Spoon, and I found it really, every night I would go watch their show, and it was like the best.
How much do you change yourself on stage, your stage presence, what you do? how you act, how you dance, how you sing.
You wouldn't want to hang out with me if I was permanently in stage mode.
No, but I'm saying, has your stage mode changed after
over
seeing
the years.
Other bands?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's, you know, touring with someone like Kate, Cage, there's so much energy. And I think that's kind of the approach I've taken a lot, you know, over the years, just trying to put as much energy into it.
Well, especially, I'm sure, with this new music, too.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, my inspirations were all, you know, as performers, you know, James Brown or Nick Cave or Iggy Pop, the bands that kind of really brought it.
Yeah.
You know, that was always the thing that got me going.
There are a few tickets available for night number one at Ticketmaster.com if you'd like to go. We're going to take a quick break.
He's going to do Bat Dance.
Beck is here.
Night one.
Is there a dance? Is there a
Bat
Dance?
No, I don't think so.
By the way, can I say I was at the Bat Cave last night?
What?
Yeah.
What?
What do you mean?
You don't know about the Bat Cave?
No.
Up in Griffith Park?
Oh, where they shot the TV show.
Yeah.
What were you doing? Just hanging out?
I was doing the Bat Dance.
Well, come to night one, he'll do it again.
If you want to find me, I'm up there doing the Bat Dance.
He just lives there now.
Every Tuesday night.
He has a new album that comes out this Friday. It's called Hyperspace.
Yes.
And we'll take a quick break and we'll come right back on the World Famous K-Rock. We are back. It is Beck on the World Famous K-Rock, who, of course, is playing night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Also, the new album drops Friday. It's called Hyperspace.
Yeah.
How do you say that in Japanese?
Hyperspace.
That's technically the Japanese.
You're gonna do the whole media tour with just the phone answering that question.
all my answers, my phone.
Supposedly, the title of it came from a video game when you were younger. We looked, and we couldn't find it.
I was thinking of remember that game Asteroids?
Asteroids.
Because you can press like a super space button.
Yeah, it was like, what was that button where you disappear?
That's what it was.
I looked it up. And it was called Hyperspace.
And you just would appear anywhere and you had no idea where it was going to be.
I mean, that's my album title right there.
Right.
Because, why?
I don't know. I feel like there's times in life where you just want to hit that button, you know? And for me, music is that kind of thing, you know, especially living in LA, you get in your car, you put on that music and you go somewhere else. And isn't that, we take it for granted, but isn't that it's a crazy thing that music does,
you
know, that it can alter our state of mind where we are. You know, I was just playing some Bob Dylan in the car and I don't know where I was, you know, I was in a whole other
not here,
world.
I can tell you that.
Definitely not here. Circling the block.
Trying to get the whole record.
Blasting.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it is cool. I mean, as a big Pharrell fan myself, like hearing that you were going to be doing it's almost half the record with him, or a little more than half. Mm-hmm. I expected there to be a Pharrell, I mean, not like drop it like it's hot or something.
No, but a feel
to it. But in real life, I think he brought the game to you more than you brought the game to him.
I thought that was going to happen as well. And I was hoping for that, actually.
He let you down?
I would love just a nose flute and a kick drum.
Sure.
And just, you know, I just think, so many of those songs he does are brilliant.
Yeah.
And you've wanted to work with him for a long time?
20 years.
Really?
Yeah.
How did it happen that you got together? Was it your last tour?
So I would say, you know, the Midnight Vultures record, which was a head scratcher for some. I was listening to a lot of Pharrell and Timbaland.
Sure.
And Aphex Twin.
Uh-huh.
And then a little bit of James Brown and Prince. And that was kind of the cocktail for, like, what that record was.
I like that you call certain records head scratchers for a lot of people. Yeah.
Well, at the time it was. Yeah. I remember being told that much. Yeah.
Well, it did have more of a hip-hop influence.
Yeah, R&B, kind of weird, funk, experimental. I don't know what it was. But, yeah, he was definitely somebody I was listening to and wanted to work with, and I kept saying at the time, next record I'm going to do with the Neptunes, Pharrell.
Yeah.
And what was it like? What was your experience like with him?
It was great.
Hey, dude, you're not doing anything.
he is really just a force of nature and energy, life force, like very unusual. I don't know. You feel like you're in the nexus in the center of pop music, popular culture, not pop music, but like music that people listen to.
You know,
like he's got like whatever rapper and then Solange and then Rihanna, whoever, like Miley Cyrus. And then he's also working with kind of like indie bands and everybody, sort of everybody goes through his door. He's like the Grand Central Station of music.
And what did he do with you? Because your album came out very much you.
Yeah, well, it was a collaboration. I mean, we sat and made a lot of these songs together. You know, like Saw Lightning. I was playing slide guitar and he recorded it and threw a beat. And then I started playing piano and then he added bass line. And then he started saying, "Hoo," and then I started going, "There was a day I saw lightning." And then, and that's just, you know, for me, I've been a solo artist pretty, you know. I am a solo artist.
Yeah, but, I mean, so your whole career.
But this does have more guests than ever. I mean, this is the most collaborative you've been.
Because I always wanted to be in a band, you know, and people who are in bands want to be solo artists. So, you know, that's the nature of it. So getting to work with him, it feels like, you know, that sort of ideal of a songwriter partnership, songwriting partnership, like all the great ones, you know.
We're talking to Beck on the world famous K-Rock. The album is called Hyperspace. It's out this Friday.
And it's so great.
It's so great.
It's really good.
Thank you so much.
And it really does run the spectrum of, if you're a Beck fan of all the records, it touches on almost every genre he's touched on.
Hyperspace.
Thank you.
Hyperspace. Right?
Spesu.
I have a feeling Kevin's not going to
get it. I don't think I'm going to get it.
No. Kevin has enough problem with English. Let's not throw another one in there.
Tell me about working with Chris Martin.
Chris is, you know, he's an old friend of mine as well. And I was doing this song called Stratosphere and I kept hearing his voice on it.
Really?
It's
just
like
in your head. You like,
The song just was, the chorus comes in and it sort of soars up. And it was just like, I can't quite break through that next level.
Your vocal?
Into the stratosphere, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it needed his voice to kind of take it. He's the master of, like, let's levitate the song up into the heavens.
And you called him and just said, I have a song, I need you?
I definitely bugged him. Yeah, repeatedly, yes. But, you know, we've played together.
Live before, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I met him in 2000, probably. He came up to me at a festival in Scotland and challenged me and my bass player to a game of badminton.
I was not expecting that.
him and his guitar player.
Badminton.
Very sweet gentleman. And I think we beat them.
Nice.
Although I think they would pretty much beat us now.
Doesn't matter.
You think they've gotten better?
You're not playing now.
Yeah, you just win one and then walk away. That's easy. Don't ever face him again. Yeah.
Retire from badminton.
Please. I've retired.
Okay. Yeah. When it's Michael official. Jordan came back to the Wizards, things were a nightmare. Stay on the Bulls, Beck. Don't come back. There's no need.
Well, we've heard the new album, and we love the new album.
Thank you so much.
And we're so happy to have you back. Yeah. We're so happy to have you on the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Excited to
and
be back.
The album Hyperspace comes out this Friday.
This Friday.
Mm-hmm.
New Beck. Thank you, sir, for stopping. We've got your tickets for K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas Night 1 coming up just after 8 o'clock if you'd like to see Beck.
Well, I mean, will you guys promise that you'll enter this with an open mind?
Jensen's the dick.
But first, our feature, Jensen is the dick.
Well, that's technically not the name of it. It's
Who's the dick?
Thank you.
Jensen.
No, at least pretend like I have an untainted jury, please.
What?
Okay.
Taint.
All I heard was taint.
The new hot name, taint. Okay. All right. This is very simple. I ran into some issues with a neighbor.
Okay.
And I need to know who's in the wrong.
All right.
Oh, my God. Kevin's ears perked up.
I am walking my dog, as I do every night and in the morning. And so I'm walking him. And he takes a poop.
Okay.
All right. Very easy. It seems simple.
So far, so good.
I think you might predict where this is going, right?
Was it on your neighbor's lawn?
Yeah, on my neighbor's lawn.
Okay.
So I carry, as always, the little attachment of bags.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Open up the bag. Pick up the poop.
You don't look at it just as fertilizer?
No.
Kevin.
Then we would know who the dick is very easily.
Kevin.
It was fertilizer.
No. Okay, pick up the poop.
Yeah.
Now in the bag. I'm walking back. And I would say there's about 15 houses in between this now tainted lawn and my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking, and on my way to my house,
I know what you're going to say.
I see a trash
can. You're a dick. You're a dick.
Hold on.
And I will tell you why.
Hold on. So I see a trash can. And I think to myself, I could easily wait another 10 houses, but the trash can's outside and is getting picked up in a day. So I open up the lid and throw the poop. And by the way, the bag is tied twice. Mm-hmm. It's knotted.
Twice.
I never even do it once anymore. Now
I welded it shut.
In a bow. Right. It's basically knotted. I opened up his trash can, throw it out, and the dude out loud yells, "Don't use my trash cans!"
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I didn't really know what to say, but then he was like, "You can't just throw your poop in any trash can." I was like, "Well,
doesn't seem like a big deal, but all right, man, if you don't want me throwing out your poop. And then I went back home. And then
wait,
the next
did you
day,
take it back out?
No, I left it in there. And then the next day, I again used his trash can.
But you did that on purpose.
Well, yeah. Now I'm never not using his trash can.
Here's okay. the thing.
Yeah.
Because I have people that throw their dog poop in our trash can.
Can we at least
when
address?
It's
is it
empty.
Is it knotted? Is it knotted?
This is before or after they've already come to take out the trash, and I'll get home right. and I'm about to bring my trash back, and I'll be like, "Wait, this already has stuff in it." It is now hot poo in our trash can mm-hmm. for a week.
But it's a trash can.
It's still hot poo, and it's not
what
my
you,
dog's
are you bringing
hot poo.
It back in the it's house?
Yes, I bring it in the house.
The whole
yes,
can?
The whole can.
Just close it. Just close the lid.
Still smells. Every time I go and bring any trash down, I open it, and I'm like, oh, there's hot poo from five doors down.
All right, let me ask you a question.
You're now hot poo guy.
No, was not what I was the trash can full?
At that time, yes.
So but, it hadn't but, been emptied yet.
But I would like to address that I will not care from now on. Now I will put it in when there's nothing in it. So I haven't done that yet. I've done it only on a day before pickup and a day of pickup. So it's been immediately taken out. But right. I will leave it there for 5 days. Absolutely. Now I'm committed.
Now you are a future dick.
Well,
you understand.
I'd
that.
Like to first address
the
doing
original
it
act.
Correct.
Not a big deal if trash is going to be picked up.
So it
not
is
a dick.
It is a it's contingent on when I mm-hmm. drop it in. Okay,
absolutely.
Now, at some point, did that person say stop using my trash can?
He did. He did the after the first time.
Okay,
and then I said sure.
Every time after that, by the fact, the way you didn't even take it out when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't think he has. Yeah. I just don't think he has the power. To be honest, I don't think he has the power to tell me not to use his trash can.
It's his trash can.
Is it though?
Yes!
No, because the city could pick it up at any time. It's the city's property. It's not his property.
Oh, my God.
It's not his property. It's the city's property. Just we should state that fact now.
But, I mean, they are our trash cans.
Okay, if that's your thought,
well, it's the truth.
It's the city's property.
Yes.
I'm going to take all your trash cans, and I'm going to move them to my house, and now they're my trash cans, but really they're the city's.
But how would that connect?
She's using an example.
I have rented it from the city. It's the city's item. If you've taken my rental, I need to go get back my rental.
You're not renting it, though.
She took the city's. She didn't take yours. She took the city's.
Exactly.
Does it have dog poo in it?
Not yours, because you're a dick and you're dropping it in every house but yours.
I still am weirded out that I think you live in your trash can. How do you smell it so much? What are you, Oscar the Grouch?
A little bit.
Okay. I don't think I'm the dick. I think that in real life, I think he's the dick. Who cares, man? It's our trash cans. We don't care. I mean, it's like... It's,
you don't care because it's not in your trash can.
No, it's like The Watchmen. It's like, who watches The Watchmen? Who cares?
What?
Listen.
What just
who cares?
Happened?
I'm not positive.
Can soap always be clean? These are questions I ask. Do you have to clean soap?
Are you stroking out right now?
This is just obfuscation. Is that the right word?
No,
you're just trying to...
I'm filibustering.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Here's what I'm saying. I think we don't need anyone to clean the trash. The trash should be trash no matter what it is. Just allow my trash in your can and it will get them thrown out.
Okay, I think you are squid.
That's
so Watchmen reference.
You're filibustering.
Wow.
Wait, did you vote?
Going back to
did
that?
You vote?
I did.
Okay, Kevin.
Well, I mean, I voted on the original. You put it in his trash can.
Right. Not
now. Once he says, "Don't put it in my trash can." Jensen's the dick.
Mm-hmm. Well, Allie?
I think if they're about to come and pick up the trash, fine. However, now that you don't think trash cans belong to anyone unless it belongs to you,
right.
because you totally changed halfway through, I say all of this is null and void. You're a huge dick. Jensen is a huge dick.
Well, I'd like that isolated, please. We'll take out a couple words.
Oh, we'll do it again. Don't worry about that. No worries.
Jensen's a dick, dick, dick. Jensen's a dick, dick, dick. Jensen's a dick, dick, dick. Jensen's a big giant dick. Jensen's a dick, dick, dick. Jensen's a dick.
All right, wait, we have one phone call. Yeah. Let's make it to Bob in Woodland Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Bob.
Bob?
Bob?
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you there.
All right. You want to weigh in on this?
There's something you need to know.
Okay.
Besides the moral issue, there is a legal issue in that when your trash is at your curbside, it is considered public property.
Oh!
Just like any other public domain thing. So legally, yes, you can throw any garbage in there you want as long as it's not overflowing.
All right, but if the guy, if the owner says, please
doesn't
don't
matter.
Use my trash can, I'm not asking
that's
you.
That's the moral issue.
Bob, are
that's
you are you a trash can lawyer? Like, how do you have this info?
That's what I do for a living.
There he goes.
You're trash a trash can lawyer?
Yeah.
No, but seriously, they're all trash can lawyers, aren't they?
When I was growing up, a news guy from one of the local stations where I grew up grabbed trash of his competitors and brought it out on the air to pick through it and see what they use and so forth.
Oh my.
And there was a big stink about it, pardon the pun.
The pun.
And and it turns out that, yeah, legally you could do that. Once trash is at curbside, you can do with it whatever
okay,
you want.
But then when the owner says don't do it, then what? Dick or no dick?
Well, then you're a dick moral.
Dick!
No,
dick,
not legally.
Jensen's
not
a
legally.
Dick.
Bob is right.
Dick, dick, Jensen, you're a big dick.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53. In about 10 minutes, we're going to tell you to call and you can win tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas night number one.
Mm-hmm.
First, Allie is here with what's happening.
Kevin,
yes?
When I first saw this story, I thought, who is the audience for this? And then I
is
remembered...
Is there a friend reunion?
Nope. Then I remembered I work with a guy named Kevin.
Mm.
Kevin
yeah.
is the audience for this.
Okay. I don't feel like you're saying that as a positive.
Here's how it's being described by one Rob Gronkowski.
Okay.
You, of course, know him.
Yes.
Used to be on the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
True meathead.
Huge party guy.
Super dumb.
Frat loves guy. Himself some partying.
Really dumb.
Yeah, we had him on Drop the Mic, and he was the dumbest person we ever worked with.
Excellent. Great to hear.
I can say that now.
He is doing an event.
Okay.
Described as this. We are going for the championship of partying with my very own music festival during Big Game Weekend in Miami. Big Game Weekend is code for Super Bowl.
Yes.
Because you're not allowed to say Super Bowl if you're promoting it. Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's called Gronk Beach. Get ready to dance on the beach with A-list performers like Diplo, Cascade, Rick Ross, all my friends and family, beach performers, and oh yeah, all the food and drinks you can handle. You guys.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Gronk Beach. He's
wow.
holding a lifeguard buoy, he's wearing a lei, and he's pointing at you because he's Gronk.
Well, sounds like we're sending beer mug.
Beer mug? Have you met
right?
Kevin?
Hey. What's wrong with you?
Saturday, February 1st from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Look, I know Miami is warmer than most places, but it is February 1st.
It will be cold.
It certainly could be.
Yeah, but it's Gronk Beach.
Right?
I mean,
it's for me. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying it's for you.
Someone's going to die there. This is the Fire Fest for football. This is not a good idea. Gronk running anything is a bad idea.
Here's the thing. Do you want the all-inclusive ticket?
Well,
gonna,
tell me what,
it's going to give you access to Gronk Beach from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay.
6-hour open bar.
Okay.
All right.
Get a lot done there.
Don't need that much.
Unlimited bites, including STK Steakhouse, the Salty Donut, some ice cream, fruit smoothies, and more.
Okay.
Also, beachfront attractions and games. There are four tiers to the all-inclusive
So how
tickets.
Much is the highest one?
$499.
Wow.
Okay, that's a lot of money.
Wow.
I mean, sure, it's just for a 6-hour event. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to go with that.
Those
no.
are just all-inclusive tickets. You want the VIP
oh,
all-inclusive
hell yeah.
tickets?
Oh, hell yeah.
What?
If I'm going to go, I'm going to go VIP.
You're going to get all of that, plus you're going to get VIP-only upscale restrooms.
Oh, well, now, you know, I cannot poo in public, so I would have to be this.
Top tier of this. $899.99.
Wow. Worth it for the poo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to get the Wynn Nightlife VIP bottle service table?
Obviously, Allie, yes.
Well, obviously, do you want to get the Party Like a Gronk Star?
Wait, that's another one?
That's a package available.
Oh,
that's $30,000.
I'm sorry?
$30,000. If you want to get just like the Tiki Touchdown table, that's
$7,500. Why are there so many options?
There's too many options.
The Shake Your Tight End table, $10,000. Wine Dine 60 table.
Oh, come on.
$15,000. God, I love him so much.
From
what
this
mess.
Day forward, we're going to stop that right now.
Meet and greet, $500.
Right.
Also, group and corporate sales. So,
K-Rock can go as a team, yeah, is what you're saying?
Just go to GronkBeach.com.
I think Kat Corbett would like that.
Oh, my God. Kat would love it.
She would love this.
This is so up her alley.
Okay.
Now, yeah, hi. This is David Hasselhoff. Uh-huh. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
How can you get tickets?
Yeah, just go to GronkBeach.com. You can register for tickets right now.
Hmm. Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like,
just told you.
Where
just,
is there?
Just, said, uh-huh. just told you.
Yeah, GronkBeach.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want to do that, you guys, there you have it.
Jeff, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can I just go down there?
No.
You can pick up something.
Yeah, you can pick up something. We don't know what it's going to be, but we're not actually putting on Gronk Beach.
Right.
That's Gronk. Rob Gronkowski. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he's not in charge of it because...
Right. Is there a package that gives you HPV? Just straight, instead of having to go for the
just
whole thing.
Just stay home and get that?
Wow.
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available?
I don't even know if there's
I don't
there.
Even know in Miami. You'd have to check that out. This is like sponsored by Wynn, so I bet they don't really want to talk about the Marriott.
Major fan of K-Rock.
Awesome.
I'd love to introduce the Red Hot Chili
Peppers.
They're not going to be there. Just like
Cascade
Diplo
and Diplo.
Not playing.
Rick Ross.
Other dudes.
Sorry.
Good times.
How
guys.
Far is the festival from... the Marriott, Palm Desert.
It's
almost 4,000 miles.
Yeah, that's going to be quite the commute.
Start driving now.
Yeah.
Wow.
We done?
No.
One more?
Yeah.
And when did the stuff really get going? In the afternoon?
I mean, it starts at 1, but it's an open bar, so I would say get there at 1. Really, mm-hmm. really start going.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
Oh, yes, God. Yes, we yes, do. Yes, yes. We do know that.
Yes, we do know
good
that about
times,
you.
Everybody.
We do.
Woo! Some birthdays for you guys. Adam Driver, Jodie Foster, Allison Janney, Larry King, Meg Ryan, Matt Sorum, and that's what's happening.
All right, we have tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number one. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to call right now, 1-800-520-1067. About an hour from now, we're going to talk to Rob Caveman Oliva, and he has a show on the History Channel.
Mm-hmm. That was a dumb idea!
Where he goes to horrible places, and he gets bitten by very, very venomous... animals.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, one of them scared me to death because it was a spider.
Only one of them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the other ones were pretty bad as well. There was a python. I mean, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and talk him out of it, just so you know.
It's already been filmed.
I want to say do less.
Okay. Right.
I mean, that is the right thing to tell him.
Okay, good. Yeah. Right now, we have tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, night one, and we are playing a game called Beer Mug Make Music With Your Mouth.
All right, it's time to get sexy. Here on Kevin and Bean, Beer Mug is going to make music with his mouth. Beer Mug, make music with your mouth. Beer Mug, make music with your mouth. Ding dong ding do. Beer Mug, make music with your mouth. Beer Mug, make music.
We get it.
With your mouth. Beer Mug, make music. With your mouth.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, no, mouth. I definitely get it.
All right.
Mouth.
Yeah.
Mouth.
Right. He hasn't changed the message.
Make music with your
right.
mouth.
Okay.
Bring it back a mumble.
Okay.
All right, we're out of time. Thanks for calling, people.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right, so Beer Mug is going to not sing, but he's going to make music with his mouth,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be a band from night number one.
Yes.
And you have to tell us the artist and the song title.
Oh.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
It's a difficult
right.
game.
Here we go.
Our resident Michael Winslow.
The first one up is Adam in Simi Valley. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, good morning, party people.
All right, are you ready for Beer Mug to make music with his mouth?
I guess.
Yeah, all right, Adam.
That's the right answer.
Nice. All right, listen up. Here we go.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Oh boy.
That's painful.
Beck Loser.
Sorry, that was Catfish and the Bottleman.
Was it?
Was it indeed?
Good question.
All right. Let's try Nikki in Carson. Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Here we go, yeah. Nikki. Don't be bad like the last guy.
No, I'm sorry. Singing a lot about his mom. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why.
Oh, it's Angels and Airwaves.
Yes.
Song?
Rebel Girl.
Yes!
Be a mug. Make music with your mouth.
You got one right. Mm-hmm. This is a miracle. Woo! All right, let's go to Sarah and your Belinda. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready to play?
I am hoping to be ready, yes.
All right. Good
all
luck.
All we can ask.
Here we go, Sarah.
Okay.
I gotta be honest, Muggs is dancing while doing it.
It's also funny because he practiced this for like 2 hours.
Yes. All right, can you identify that?
Oh, God, I totally fail. I have no idea.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm looking at it, and I don't believe it.
No.
You have a guess?
We need a guess.
No, she has.
Okay. I'll go with the first guy, Beck Loser.
Nope. No. Sorry. That was Cold War Kids.
Somehow.
I didn't get that from that. All right, let's go to Ralph in Garden Grove. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready, Ralph?
I guess.
Good luck.
Did you get the last one, Ralph?
No, I've gotten the second
one.
All right, no one
did,
got the last
no one.
One
did.
Right. Well, it wasn't the singer, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right, Ralph, can you do the impossible?
Cage the Elephant?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Song title?
Ready to let go?
No. Nope. Sorry, that Shake Me Down.
They're one of my favorite bands, and I was still confused.
There's no way. There's no way.
Let's go to Steven in Chino Hills. Good morning, Steven.
Hey, good morning.
How you been doing on hold?
Oh, man. I don't even understand, you know, any of the songs he's even trying
agreed.
To do.
No. That means you're not alone. Normal.
We're with you. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Have you guys ever heard any of the songs? They sound exactly like them.
Oh, we've definitely heard the songs. We work at K-Rock.
Angels and Airwaves did sound like Angels and Airwaves.
That was tiny bit.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Buck.
All right, this is going to sound like the band. Here we go.
Oh, God. He wants to say, oh, God. Oh, it's still going.
All right. Steven.
Okay, it definitely is a Jimmy Eat World song.
Yes. Correct.
Yes.
Maybe Hear You Me?
Nope. I'm sorry.
How do you get the band and not the song?
It's a praise chorus.
I don't know that I would be
praise chorus was the song.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Karen in Los Angeles. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Oh, my God. Make it easy on me, babe.
So far, we only have one person who's gotten it right and Beer Mug who's gotten all the rest wrong.
Go easy on me, Beer Mug.
All right, Karen. If you don't get this, just go ahead and end your life, all right?
Wow, Jesus. Wow. Come on,
take
man.
It easy. All right.
God.
Yes! Beck Loser.
You can stop, Muggs.
Unbelievable that you got that.
Great job.
Beck Mark. Make music.
Music with your mouth.
All right. Do we want to do another one or no?
I mean, do we care about our ears?
Up to you.
All right, let's do one more.
Okay.
Let's do one more. Let's make it Owen in Redlands. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning.
All right.
Owen, it says you're a studio musician, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, too. For the record, I did get first by Cold War Kids.
Thank you, Owen. All right.
All right, here we go.
You're good at your job.
All right, here we go. Good luck.
Okay. All right, Mugs.
Sorry, what's your guess?
That's Cough Syrup by Young Magellan.
Yes, yes, it is. Wow.
Music with your mouth.
All right, we got three winners. Mm-hmm. How about that? Let's do a drawing. See who's going to be at night one of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas.
The winner is Nikki.
Yay! Nikki. Congrats, Nikki.
Thank you, guys.
We will see you on Saturday night, December 7th. Thanks for playing the game.
Beer Mark, make music with your...
I don't know if you saw this story about the wedding where the bride and groom stopped... in the middle of it, so they could update their Facebook relationship status.
That's like their I do almost.
Yes.
Like, now it's time for us to change our status.
They both took out their phones.
Oh, dear. Boy.
They updated their status.
Nope.
They put the phones back away and they finished the ceremony.
Isn't that cute?
I am nothing without my following.
Maybe let's stop doing that.
I don't think we need that.
There is a terrible dystopian future where it's in the vow. Now take out your phones and change the status.
No.
I mean, it could happen.
But don't you think, like, it felt like a lot of people were pointing this out as a negative.
Don't do that.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah.
Don't do this.
But as someone who planned a wedding last year, there are so many potholes that you could fall into. Like, we had Eliza Schlesinger on yesterday, and she was talking about certain things from, you know, her wedding planning that she avoided, like the garter and stuff like that. But I was surprised to hear that she did a choreographed dance.
Same. Yeah.
Because that's pretty much top of the list for things I don't want to do.
And guess who was asked to do that?
Who?
Me.
Whoa.
At a destination wedding.
Well, number one, start with just destination.
You're already shelling out all that money. Mm-hmm. This was a very good friend of mine, so I was happy to do it. And by happy to do it, F you. We live in Southern California. Let's have it here.
Right.
So she put on the invite for the bridesmaids, gonna need you guys here a few days earlier than everyone else to learn the dance.
Oh, come on.
So I wrote back in a group text, I'm like, funniest thing you could ever put on an email or on an invite. And she's like, no, legit here 3 days early. And I'm like,
no.
How do I talk you out of this? So 3 extra days off from work in a hotel to learn a dance.
What was the song? Do you mind? You remember?
Baby Got Back.
Oh, no.
I can't. And if she's listening right now, she's like, please stop telling the story. Because even she, I think, afterwards was like, why did I do that?
Just give us her first name.
No. She knows who she is.
Wait, okay. She knows who she is. How long is the dance? Is it like the full song?
No, it was about 45 seconds.
And you had to be there for 3 days?
We started it, and then the groomsmen come in, and then they join, and then that's when the couple came down the... It was...
Major butt-centric dance moves?
Oh, yeah.
No.
And we were supposed... I can't. Like, lift up your dress a little bit so you can actually see, like, No, there was actually, like, would anyone be comfortable wearing bloomers? So, like, if they said something on the bloomers, I'm like, I don't know what's happening
right now.
Was
this wedding in a strip club?
Yeah.
I wish it was.
Were they making it rain?
A local one? Is that the most insane thing you've ever heard?
Yes.
Would any of you be willing to wear bloomers with writing on it?
No.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even take in the idea that maybe I'll learn a dance for your wedding. I didn't even want to do that with my wife. I didn't even want to do it to where we learned a dance or anything. We didn't even have people speak at the wedding.
But does she have an LA face with an Oakland booty?
No. Okay. Listen, that was for you and your group. Yeah, that was for you and your group.
Jensen's wedding was in total 17 seconds. It was really quick.
We did like a couple words, walked out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what you want.
No one wants to see that stuff. They just want to drink and dance.
They want to drink.
Yeah.
They want good food. And even if there's not great food, make up for it with the drinks.
Yes.
And they want to hear good music.
That's it.
That's it.
And also, let them dance if they want. Don't force everyone
Come on, everybody, get on the dance floor.
No one wants
that. Go straight to hell.
Yeah. Muggs, you've done that before, right? You've had to try to convince people to dance as a wedding MC.
No, as a bar mitzvah MC.
Oh, even better. Yeah.
And I was trying to get a group of kids to do the limbo. Mm-hmm. As I approach them, I go, "Hey guys, we're gonna go do the limbo inside. You guys wanna come in? Your mom's gonna do the limbo inside." Was a swift response that I got.
You deserved it.
I kind of love those. I love that kid right there.
You also deserved it.
So 1-800-520-1067. If you have ridiculous things that you have seen,
you've seen at weddings, yeah, like what's
been a part of
weirdest, dumbest, most embarrassing thing you've seen at weddings, like and planned out, like part of their strategy on how you'll celebrate.
Do you mind pulling up your dress a little bit?
So would weird. Any of you be comfortable wearing bloomers with writing on it? I was like, is this happening?
Like, did they make you wear airbrush shirts of their faces and stuff? Like, that
honestly,
stuff happens.
It almost happened.
It does.
I can't with this.
No.
I can't wait to hear. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next. We're going to take your calls on wedding disasters that you have seen or been a part of. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll talk to you next. We are talking about the worst wedding you've been to and exactly what happened. And we're going to start with Veronica in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hey guys, long-time listener.
Thank you very much.
Yes, so this is more, it's not the worst wedding I've ever been to by any means. This is the most beautiful over-the-top wedding, but the groom had a dream of ending the night with a bang, let's say.
Okay.
So the plan was to take a flaming bow and arrow.
Oh,
all right.
And
I'm in. I'm in so far.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. I was like, are you going to do this from a horse? This is very Game of Thrones. Well, wasn't from a horse, but after a lot of drinking, he unfortunately kept missing the bullseye.
What was the bullseye?
And
like what?
It looked like a haystack with a bullseye on it, but like a fancy one.
But what was going to happen impressive. Once he
Did
hit the
bullseye? Did something happen if it were just everyone just celebrates?
Everybody just goes, yeah, I hit the bullseye.
No.
Oh.
But when he hit the bullseye, it was supposed to cue the 10-minute fireworks show over the lake.
Oh, no.
But
and
unfortunately,
he missed
didn't
how many
happen,
times?
And the look of... He tried it 3 or 4 different times.
Oh, no.
Also, who are you friends
you
with? 10-minute fireworks shows at a wedding.
Ever.
Wait, who... I mean, you don't have to tell me who this is, but, like, what do they do for a living that they have 10-minute fireworks shows?
He does very well for a living.
Oh, he's in the mafia.
No, okay.
He's
in the mafia, right? Okay.
Got it. Mafia. No. Okay,
perfect.
Fair enough.
Thank you for the call, Veronica. We appreciate that. Let's go to Christina in Carlsbad. Hi.
Hi. Longtime listener, guys. Love you guys so much.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, yeah, so my husband Matt and I got married 777 at the aquarium in Long Beach, and one of the things we did was a bubble wrap dance.
What is that?
And so what the DJ does is he put bubble wrap all over the dance floor and played, you know, shout, and everyone's jumping out, and everyone's like, what the hell are we supposed to do? They all come out and start jumping and having a great time.
Nope.
And so a lot of people at first were like, what? Why would we be doing this? But at the same time, it's bubble wrap. You got to pop it. Everyone had a great time.
Was anyone at the wedding over 8 years old? Or was it all 8-year-olds? Because 8-year-olds,
yeah,
I get.
Well, I mean, there were a couple kids, but
okay.
I mean, we were 22 when we got married. Everyone was drunk, had a great time.
All right, all right. No defense, I get
it.
I mean,
yeah.
y'all are weird.
All right. So bubble wrap,
bubble wrap.
I'm cool with that.
All right, you guys are still together?
Yeah,
all right.
Married.
I'll praise bubble wrap. All right.
let's go to Ray. Good morning.
Morning.
So we're talking about weird weddings that you went to.
Yeah, I was part of a wedding, and they had a bouncy house and a piñata. They were trying to double wedding for a 2-year-old also at the same time.
Why were they marrying off a 2-year-old?
What is going on?
Wait, what?
It's a wedding and a 2-year-old's party, or also a 2-year-old getting married?
No, it was a wedding and a 2-year-old. I guess they wanted to save money, and they wanted to hold the little kid's party at the same time. At the wedding that he was marrying into, so
Oh, I thought.
I'm not going to lie, though. A wedding with a bouncy house is kind of cool.
No, that kind of works for me. And a bubble wrap dance? Oh, boy.
No, that's a different
lady. Oh, okay. All right. Because I'm just thinking for kids now.
Yeah. That is very different.
Oh, my God. Really?
All right. Thank you for the call, Ray. We appreciate that. Let's go to Jason. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Mm-hmm. Hi there.
So it was my own wedding, unfortunately.
All right.
My wife and I took communion during the ceremony, and she kneeled down before I did, and I kneeled down next to her and inadvertently kneeled down standing on her dress. And so when I got up, she got up, tried to get up next, and ended up tearing off the train off of her dress and part of the bottom of her dress around her waist.
Hello. Now,
no, was she, like, mooning you at all, or no?
No, not yet, but
not yet.
She wasn't standing. I put my arm under hers and then proceeded to try to pick her up and tear the dress the rest of the way.
Jason wanted to get that dress off of his wife.
And then Baby Got Back came on the speakers, and they had a choreographed dance with her bloomers.
Wow.
I had bubble wrap.
One goal for the end of the day that day, and I was going to get it as soon as possible, I'm telling you.
I mean,
you couldn't.
It wasn't the communion, I assume. Well, that seems. I mean, what did she wear for the rest of the ceremony?
We got a bunch of safety pins and pinned it back together. It was horrendous.
Giddy up! Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
I bet she loved that.
Yeah.
I bet she was really happy about that on that day.
That's not the definition of Webster's happiness, but yeah, I was excited about
it. That'd be amazing.
I was excited about it. All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Albert in Los Angeles. Good morning, Albert.
Elvis, yes. Hey, how you doing?
Still your name.
Kevin, good.
Allie, all
right. Still trying to get the beer mug music with your mouth out
same.
Of my head.
Yeah,
same.
Dare you?
So weddings, what did you see?
So I'm in a wedding MC for 25 years, wedding MC DJ, and I've seen countless dances gone horribly wrong and all of the brides singing to the grooms going just really bad. But I always feel like whenever they bring up to me, we have this great idea where I'm going to take the garter off and we're going to pull out like all these old boxers and like license plates and weird like items coming
That's
out.
It's so wacky.
No, Albert, no.
It's so wacky. It's like a clown car.
Very bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
Also, kind of a bad message. Oh, well, right? I mean, it's kind of a bad... Yeah, not a good to say. Hey, my wife had a license plate there.
Hey, look at everything in here.
Yeah.
Wife's a total whore.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52. Rob Caveman Oliva will be joining us.
That was a dumb idea!
Yeah. They travel the world to find the most poisonous animals, and then they get bit by them.
On purpose.
On purpose.
Yeah.
At least when they were on like a little boat, they weren't attacked by hippos!
That did happen.
And that wasn't even what they were trying to get bit by.
Honestly.
The most dangerous...
if a hippo bites you, you're dead.
Dead.
Aren't they the most deadly animal?
You made that up.
No, hippos,
really?
For sure. Yeah, it's either hippos or rhinos.
Huh.
They're the most deadly animals in the animal kingdom.
Hippos.
See? Hippos. Suck it, Jensen.
Well, listen, it sounded like you made it up. You said out of nowhere. Yeah, hippos are most dangerous.
I'm just telling you, I'm right.
Well, maybe
Rob needs me on the show.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe you're next.
Do you think Rob will be impressed that I let a grizzly bear eat a marshmallow out of my mouth?
Yes, absolutely. That's in his wheelhouse.
It's a tough question, but I would think so.
What if he's like, what else you got?
I've done it.
Do you think he'll allow Beer Mug to bite him today?
Oh, I hope so.
Because that's dangerous. A lot of tetanus.
Can you get HPV from
a
bite?
How dare you?
Well, I heard from a smart guy you can't get HIV anymore.
Oh, I heard that.
That doesn't matter.
This inaccurate information on this program,
a lot of different journeys.
Time for what's happening. Here's Allie.
Guys, Kanye West and Dr. Dre shocked fans yesterday.
Chick-fil-A!
When they announced that they're going to be collaborating on Jesus is King Part 2. You guys.
This is such a bummer.
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it. I don't feel like Dr. Dre's the guy that's doing that now. Do you?
He's not religious from what I know.
Right.
But he's like a guy who announces things and never releases them. So I wouldn't bet on this.
Well, who knows? No word yet on what part two will consist of, although Kanye has promised to only do gospel from here on out. Hallelujah. So the album will likely continue with that trend. Mm. Jesus is King came out less than a month ago, you guys, and now he's doing an opera at the Hollywood Bowl coming up. There's just a lot of Kanye that I don't think anyone needs, but as long as people keep buying it.
Not that I'm doubting Kanye's religion.
Right.
And his dedication to it.
Uh-huh.
But if he doesn't make money, how fast will he go right back to old Kanye?
Oh, I
think that'll all play into it, yeah. If the shoe stops selling,
right,
he'll be rapping about buttholes again or whatever he did that one time.
What?
You never heard that line?
Poopity scoop?
No, it's like talking about tan. You've heard it. She
I don't know.
Bleached her butthole or whatever.
All I know is I don't like any songs about buttholes because I've been very honest with you guys about my cousin Tim. And in case you didn't know about my cousin Tim, well, let's just say it's going to be rough during Thanksgiving because of the whole fiber thing.
Do you think Kanye would play the song that we want played?
My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. My cousin Tim doesn't have a butthole, and he can't eat fiber. Well, it's the atomic weight of mercury.
Yeah.
All right, so listen. That wasn't Jed the Fish.
Right.
That was Mike Catherwood doing an impression. And then it was a listener that put it to music.
Yes.
And they have now put it on Spotify.
Right.
Yes.
Under the name Fartin Scorsese, which is my new...
All of it is the best.
My new favorite artist name.
It is on Spotify. You can find it under Fartin Scorsese. It's my cousin Tim.
Yeah. And we are working on getting a charity 7-inch vinyl put together, which is all I want to happen.
I mean.
What's the B-side of that one?
I mean, that's a good question. We should look into that.
All right.
What would be the B-side to Fartin Scorsese?
A Butthole Surfer song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Something B-hole related.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Okay. Sure you would.
Very cool.
Sure
Very
you would.
Cool, you guys. Spotify under Fartin Scorsese. Everything about it is perfect.
Yes.
I love
Spotify,
it so much.
Where you can get both Beethoven and Fartin Scorsese.
I mean, maybe in the same little jaunt.
Yeah.
Who knows? Guys, Kelly Clarkson is sticking around daytime TV because she has been renewed for a second season in syndication. The early pickup for 2020-2021 comes as the daytime talk show has performed solidly in ratings over its first couple months. Her show averages 1.9 million daily viewers.
Yay!
This is since its September 9th premiere, and that's the strongest start for a first-year syndicated talk show in 7 years. Mm-hmm. She is fourth, right behind, Dr. Phil, Live with Kelly and Ryan, and Ellen. I mean, that is amazing company of shows that have been on for decades.
Yeah.
She is kicking some butt, you guys. Good for you, Kelly Clarkson.
I like her.
Mm-hmm. She opens each show with Kelly-oke.
You said is her singing along with...
It's her singing, and then the audience, like they pan to the audience, are losing their minds because you're seeing essentially a Kelly Clarkson concert.
Singing, yeah.
It's awesome. I just love it. I love everything about her, I'm not going to lie. What do you think of this? We have all been sick this year. We're probably going to get sick again this year. Mm-hmm. Nearly one in three Americans enjoys getting sick so they can take a break from their everyday life.
What?
29% actually welcome being sick from time to time in order to, you know, catch up with stuff sleep or errands or
TV
other
shows.
Things.
But
TV.
I would say that's like, oh, my nose is a little stuffy. Oh, I sort of
so not like
really
full blown
sick.
Flu.
No,
okay.
Like you were sick.
It was awful,
and you couldn't watch a second of TV.
No,
I think that's the
that's
defining
the worst. I literally was like, I am so sick. I'm just going to lay on my couch, turn on the.
Yeah.
I was out because I was so exhausted
that
I couldn't even watch TV.
If you gave them those choices, I don't think they would pick.
No, I would never.
Yeah. If your teeth hurt and every time you go to turn in your bed, you're sweating bullets and all of a sudden you're like, why do my toenails feel like they're on fire? That is not something you want.
If your hair is sore, you don't want to be sick.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, whatever flu that is that went around that Bean gave Muggs first.
Yeah.
He gave it to me, and then he gave it to Kevin. Then he gave it to Muggs again. We've got to stop French and Bean
right?
when he comes down here.
This was the first year I ever got a flu shot, and I avoided it. Mm. So, just something you should know.
All right.
I'm with Dr. Drew is what I'm saying. He says to get a flu shot no matter what.
All right, we don't need a bragger.
Just letting you know.
Take it easy. Mm-hmm.
That must be cool. Whatever.
Just a lie!
Hope that dude comes in and bites you.
He's coming in.
Some birthdays for you. Matt Sorum, Meg Ryan, Allison Janney, Jody Foster, Adam Driver, and... Larry King.
Tonight, Snoop Dogg gets real and keeps it crack-a-lackin'.
Still got it. And that's what's happening.
Yeah. There's a show on the History Channel, and this is the intro.
In 1983, entomologist Dr. Justin Schmidt began ranking stinging insects on a scale from 1 to 4. He put himself in harm's way for science. Now, Adam Thorne and caveman Rob Oliva are taking Schmidt's index further.
You guys really need to understand how dangerous this is.
Just do it already!
Get him off!
Adding venomous bites.
Let go!
And more deadly creatures.
It's coming! Whoa! Hippo just hit the boat!
Ranking them on a 30-point scale. Their goal...
Not dead yet.
...to create history's ultimate guide to pain.
Oh, my God!
There's only one thing that'll make me feel better. I want you to join me. Let's sting you, too.
Is a thing.
That's not a good friend. The only way I'll feel better is if you get stung,
right,
too. That's not cool.
For me, Dr. Schmidt did good work.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Let him be. Let him be.
Let's leave it.
Yeah. See, I saw this and I thought, Dr. Schmidt, 1 through 4, what a lazy F. Right? That is the worst scale ever on a scale of 1 to 4. Screw you, Dr. Schmidt. I'm glad that you two exist,
that's
caveman.
Why we got the boys.
We have caveman Rob Oliva in the studio with us.
Yay!
Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. As a person who's been bitten by a brown recluse this year, and it took about 2 months to get over, and
I'm still kind of in it.
There's still a scar there. I couldn't imagine watching this and then couldn't stop watching this.
It freaked him out. Then he's like, why do we only have 2 screeners? Okay, you're sick.
Were you in the Midwest when you got bitten?
No, I was here and I was in bed.
He was in the San Fernando Valley, which is a lot like
that. Okay. You know, this is not
By the way, I didn't know that it was a brown recluse at first until my skin started dying.
Well, of course not. Right. They're not even supposed to be. They're not native here.
Right.
Yeah,
I know.
But I'm hearing report after report that these things are showing up.
They don't know where they're supposed to be.
Yeah. At first, they were like, "Oh no, it's probably a desert recluse." Well, who cares what kind
of
recluse?
Well, those don't have the necrosis typically that you see with some of the brown recluse bites.
His skin was dying
gross.
In his neck.
Gross.
Like they were cutting it off with knives.
I hate to tell you,
with scissors.
That's worse than normal. It doesn't normally happen.
Well,
you had a bad case.
I did. I also didn't know that's what it was for about 4 weeks until they started going, oh, wait a minute, your skin's dying.
They ruled it out because they thought there are no brown recluse here.
Well, how many people move to L.A. every year from the Midwest?
You bring it along in your luggage.
It's got to be some
stupid people that move here from the Midwest.
Jim from Minnesota.
He did it again.
Damn it, Jim.
Wait, Rob, so this is something he would like to avoid in his life. He doesn't want another brown recluse. You, on the other hand, are going to these places and asking to get bit and stung.
Well, just look what happened to him.
Yes.
This is a mystery bite. So if he had a little more knowledge from watching it, maybe he could have talked to the doctors about it. I don't know how familiar you were already, but
I wasn't really. I just knew that skin died. I didn't know that. And my skin would turn black, and the doctor would just take scissors. Gross. And I was like, what? Scissors? Are you crazy? He's like, you won't feel it.
Like pulling off dead skin.
You won't feel it.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
Yeah, it was
that's
terrible.
He's saying that's a nightmare. He's attacked by hippos.
Caveman said it was a nightmare.
This is what scares me with what we're doing.
Yes.
We're trying to do the average spider sting and let people know what the average thing that they can expect.
It doesn't seem like it's average when you're going out and finding it.
The average brown recluse bite is a lot of pain, swelling, redness. You might get a fever. It's painful.
Yeah.
But once in a while, you get these insane necrotic lesions, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of... That's big danger to us. We're like, hey, we're probably going to be okay, but we're taking a big risk. And so that's our biggest danger.
But you also have a doctor with you.
Well, come on.
Is he a doctor?
I guess.
There's only so much he could do.
Yeah, he walks up and he goes, you guys feeling all right? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, you guys breathing fine? Yeah, okay, I'll be over there in craft services. Yeah.
These guys are Venom 1, Venom 2 from Florida, top of the line. But at the end of the day, what can they do for
you
in the field sometimes?
A lot of times the guy will just say, I probably wouldn't do it. I'm like, come on. You're a medical professional.
Yeah, then he goes back to his phone and plays like Snake or something. He's not even paying attention to what you're doing.
Let me know if you guys need anything.
Yeah, I'm concerned that you guys are putting too much of your life in his hands.
Well, there's a lot of research that goes into this.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking months and months and months. Not just Adam and I's knowledge, but also biologists and medical professionals. And it gets thoroughly vetted. But there's an element of risk that we can never get rid of.
How are you even pitch this show?
Here's what's crazy.
He's
I've had this dream for 10 years. I don't know
what?
Why.
You've had
I've had this dream for 10 years. I don't know
this
why.
Show?
I got bitten by a tokay gecko as an audition for a job at a reptile store. That place is closed down now. By the way,
your trade is normally you're like an animal wrangler.
I'm an animal wrangler.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah,
by the way, with things like snakes and things like that, Ab and I, neither one of us are bug guys. So now we're encountering so many insects, so many spiders.
Tell us
centipedes.
Some of them. Tell us about the.
We're
spider.
Just like you. We're learning as you go. We gotta call biologists, make sure we have the right ID on it. You know, if it's a snake, we can talk about it all day. But so that's
let's
scary.
Talk about the snake for
let's
a second.
Let's talk about snakes.
Okay.
Which one was it?
The reticulated python, usually the longest snake on the planet.
Okay.
And this one was 16 foot long. And they get bigger, but that's the biggest one we can find.
16 feet long.
And that's not one that you had at your pet store. This is brand new to you seeing it in person.
No, dude. In the pet store, they're puppy dog tame, usually. Right. In the wild, they are a-holes. I'm talking
and
about.
And this one was mad.
Oh, it's pit. We
and
took
you're
it
the
out
one that put your elbow, right?
Yeah, I did. Back then, I had a little more muscle, so we did the elbow. Well, the reason I lost muscle is this thing clipped my ulnar nerve. And
really?
That's the type of stuff that we're talking about, that the dangers that we're really facing with this. And we were looking at anatomy charts. We're looking at all these things for the best place. We should have done on the leg. That would have been the right answer.
Yeah.
How do you get a snake to hit you directly on the leg? What if it goes over a little bit and hits the family jewels?
Yeah, right.
I mean, so,
you did sort of just offer your elbow just sort of a little bit.
Yeah, it's not the snake's fault.
So you've lost mass because of the bite?
Yeah. I have surgery coming up.
Really? Yeah.
And what can they do for that?
Would you want to release pressure that might be on the nerve right now due to build up a scar tissue?
What?
However, any direct damage to the nerve, they might not be able to fix.
Wow.
Go back to the pet store.
This is not playing around.
You don't have to keep doing this.
Well, we won't be doing any more snakes that large.
Okay.
We'll do smaller snakes. That wasn't something we just jumped into. We had an entire season. We worked up to it. An entire season of successful, safe bites. And we're like, you know, we'll take a risk. Adam and I know snakes really well. We knew the risk involved. We've been bitten by pythons a lot. In our own lives.
Sure, of course.
In our own lives.
That's why I don't want people doing this at home. If you see this, like, look, we're professional animal handlers. We did stuff the opposite of what we normally do in our professional lives.
It's funny to me. You wouldn't even have to say that. Don't do it at home.
He has to.
There's someone listening right now, I promise you.
Oh,
I agree, but I'm just saying it's crazy that you have to say that.
Yeah. I have to ask a dumb question.
Yeah.
So when I'm watching it, they're talking about the venom and stuff. Mm-hmm. I was always under the impression that if you're bit and venom gets into your system, there's not a way out. Am I wrong?
Well, mostly we do defensive venoms, not a predatory venom like you get, say, with the rattlesnake, which it does use to defend itself, but also starts to break down the tissue or has strong neurotoxins that can actually kill you. We're doing defensive venoms that are designed to cause pain and not damage most of the time.
Man.
A few of the animals that we've done, like the toe biter, which is this nasty water beetle.
Hold on. We need to take a break.
Yeah. That was Kevin's nickname in college.
The toe biter.
We'll take a break and we will come right back on. Congratulations to Genesis Delgado from Los Angeles. Got two tickets to night two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas at Honda Center on December 8th.
Also, congrats on the name Genesis Delgado.
Right?
Cool name.
Your chance to win is coming up within an hour.
The man holds dangerous, deadly snakes, but couldn't get his headphones back on, and that made me
happy. It was a real journey, what I just watched here with Rob.
Like we're on the same level for a second.
He is in studio to talk about this show, Kings of Pain. Mm-hmm. And when we left, you were talking about a toe biter.
A beetle.
A beetle that bites your toes.
This is something you can find pretty much all over the world.
First of all, we're not looking for them.
No.
But they might be looking for you.
Oh, okay.
That sounded like a threat.
These things are an aquatic beetle. They're like water bugs, but they get huge. And what's scary about them is their venom seems to be targeted for maybe not in other invertebrates, but things like baby snakes, eating fish. And so if it targets things like that, we're also vertebrates, so it's actually it's insanely painful.
Yeah. Well, the show is Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. on History. We got a sneak peek of tonight's show, and I don't think I'm giving much away, but there is, I believe, a scorpion that bites you and bites Adam. But it bites Adam first, and it bites his arm. And then for you, it doesn't bite your arm because you said you have something called what?
They called me rhino skin.
it's too thick to penetrate?
It was an issue the entire season.
Just really?
Thick arm skin. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm so manly.
I'm so manly.
Why did you just fake it? You just go,
that's what I'd be like, it's the worst.
Oh, I know.
Oh, I'm going to go to my trailer.
I couldn't do that to Adam, though. Adam's such a good dude. If he's sitting there in pain, I got to join him.
I listen.
Dog!
dumb idea.
That summarizes the entire thing.
I grew up in Phoenix where there are scorpions, but not the kind of scorpion that you guys found.
No, this was
crazy.
A tree creeper scorpion, or they call it bark scorpion in Africa, not to be confused with our bark scorpions.
Sure.
And then we did something we've never done before, because there's months of research going into all these bites and stings. We decided to do a second scorpion.
Yeah.
And we ran it past a couple of biologists, past the doctor, and he okayed it.
Can I just ask why? Why did you have to?
Because you're trying to fill this book, man. You're trying to make sure that everything gets hit, right?
When's the next time we get to go to Africa?
Right.
Exactly. We want to just get as many species as possible. And other guys have done bites and stings.
Let's say you repeated that one. No, you did it with the second one?
No,
it went up in
they basically ran into a new scorpion. Yes. And they were like, let's do this, too.
Interesting.
But even the medic was like, guys, I don't think this many bites in this short allotted amount of time is smart.
And not only that, he was concerned. We're doing this long term. Like he just said, we want to do as many species as possible. The more you get exposed to venoms, the more likely you are to be allergic. And think about a bee allergy. It kills people, a lot of people. And it might as well be a black mamba if you're allergic to it, because it will kill you 5 minutes.
And you don't know you're allergic to it until it happens.
Yeah, and the way you get allergic is through exposure. And we're getting exposed.
You're getting
exposed,
a lot of exposure in this.
But I don't think we're predisposed to allergies. That doesn't mean we're not going to
get them eventually.
What if they're getting stung by all of these insane things, and then they're like, "Oop, got to take today off. I got hay fever.
I got a mosquito. I might die."
And that is the biggest killer.
Tell us what else. What else you got attacked by?
Yeah, we've got everything from the obvious, like big snakes, a lot of stinging insects. We did the piranha, just because it's such a legend.
Yeah, everyone knows.
Yeah, everyone knows piranha. You grow up with those cartoons where the guy goes in the water and then comes back out. He's just a skeleton.
Sure.
I guess my thought is, I felt watching it, the things that I'd be most afraid of are the things I'm not planning for. Like, those seem the scariest. Like, not the scorpion I'm looking for, but the things I find on the way.
Yeah, is that wildlife attacks.
Oh, yeah.
It was, like, the most common thing that was freaking you guys out, right? Like, a hippo attacked your boat.
Yes, yes. Oh, the hippo. Well, first off, we're so distracted looking for the animals that we want.
Right.
We're not paying the normal attention that we would out in the field.
Right.
But and, wait a minute. Hold on. So you're paying attention to something, but you don't see a effing hippo?
Oh, we saw the hippo, saw us, and it's too late at that point.
Too late.
All the animals that we encountered that we did bison stings, we had to make them do it. They were so reluctant to bite and defend themselves. They just wanted to get away. Mm-hmm. Hippos, no. Those things come after you. We were on this river, and Adam was driving. He had about 30 minutes of practice driving this boat before we started looking for monitor lizards. So we're on this boat. He's like, I think I got it. It's a little bit touchy on this boat. We stopped and caught a baby little crocodile, put it back. We started to pull away, and boom. I'm like, dude, you just hit a submerged log. And then the boat kind of moved a little bit.
That's
I'm like, dude, you hit a crocodile, dude.
Oh, man.
And then I look back at him, and we're filming. It's a TV show. So he has kind of lights in his face, so he can't really see that well. And I just look behind him, and his steering wheel is at the back of the boat where he's standing up. And I see this massive head pop up right, I'm like 2 feet behind him.
Oh, my God.
I just screamed, hippo! And he just punches the gas. But this is a lightweight aluminum boat with a bad, like, awesome engine.
Oh,
we about
no,
flipped
today.
The, 100% the built boat tipped back. And we just took off, and to credit to him, he saved our lives. I was kind of along for the ride, but he was freaking out because it was our. And they came after us 4 times before we could get off the water.
Really?
It was like a torpedo.
The hippo wouldn't give up?
It's different hippos. I swear, at some point, they started coordinating. I swear. Because they would be on one side, so we turn around and come the other way.
Hey,
and then
two white dumb guys are coming your way.
Teach these guys a lesson.
Wow. But Adam's safe. Like, his face is fine?
His face is fine.
Okay. Allie has fallen in love
with
your
partner. I'm just saying, Adam is a very handsome Australian biologist. 6'3", you said he can't work out because he gets too swole.
Yeah,
all
he
right.
gets too much muscle tone. So.
Yeah, we all feel that way.
Yeah, we all have that problem.
Yeah, he's here in the studio, actually.
What?
Don't
I'm
joke.
Just kidding.
She'd want to get bit.
This is going to beat me up later.
Well, I got to tell you, the show is it's hard to not watch. It's a great, great watch. It's called Kings of Pain. It airs Tuesday nights at 10
tonight.
On History.
Yeah,
tonight as well, yes. Yeah. And Rob, thank you for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Watch us tonight
stay
in Africa.
Stay safe, man.
Hope your surgery on your arm works well.
Thank you.
So you can get back to it. So we were just talking about Kings of Pain, which is a show tonight at 10 on the History Channel.
Yes.
And it's crazy, and they get bitten by a lot of animals. And we thought perhaps it was ripe for a remix.
Look at that stinger.
Look how long that sting is.
It's huge.
Oh, yeah.
Look at it. Yeah, you can see it coming out looking for you.
Oh, that ready? Seems too big.
Yeah.
Dong.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga!
Oh, yeah.
Gaga! I've got extra meat.
Whoa!
Got any pudding? I don't eat nuts.
What's going on? Long time.
I'm gonna make you smell it.
Oh, I felt that. that was so gross.
That was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, dude.
You're hurtful.
That was the worst feeling I've ever experienced.
That can horn you up.
Wow.
I mean,
those guys have seen a lot of terrible things, but nothing as bad as
nothing
that.
Nothing as frightening as what they saw right then.
That was a dumb idea.
Wow.
Should we hear it again?
No. I mean, here's the thing. Yes. Usually I roll my eyes at those and I'm like, oh, we get it.
Here we go again.
Making noise with the turtle or beer mug, whatever it is. I mean.
You want to hear it again?
No, I'm just saying. Okay. Adam and Caveman.
Oh, I see. Like, I see. You're good with that one.
I win.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Time for what's happening. Here's Allie.
Guys, this is huge news. And it's not just for Jeopardy fans. It's for anyone that likes to expand their mind. Or whatever.
The three top winners in Jeopardy history are set to compete against each other during a primetime Emmy. What? Primetime event. One more time.
Yeah,
she has to start over.
The three top winners in Jeopardy history are set to compete against each other during a primetime event on ABC in January.
Better.
Jeopardy alums Ken Jennings,
yes.
Brad Rutter,
yes.
and James Holzhauer are going to vie for the title of GOAT. What do you get if you win Jeopardy, the greatest of all time? Oh, just $1 million. Two loser runner-ups? Oh, $250,000 apiece. Not bad.
No.
So, right now, we've got Ken Jennings. That's
Which
who you're
I've taken
going
for. Sure. I'm already all the way in.
He, of course, had the record 74-game win streak, the longest in Jeopardy history. His winnings totaled $3,370,700.
Can I say I believe he's also underestimated as a competitor?
I don't think anyone has ever said that about Ken Jennings.
In this competition, I'm telling you, people love the new James guy. People are into him. And then also, you already have sort of shown your hand as to who you're picking.
I'm just telling you, Brad Rutter, a lot of people, just because he wasn't as snazzy.
Pop culture, right.
As Ken Jennings, maybe they forgot about him. And he didn't have the, oh, I changed the game the way I'm picking categories like James Holzhauer.
Sure.
However, he's won the most money by any contestant, and he never lost Jeopardy to a human opponent. He lost to Watson when they had the IBM challenge.
Right.
He brought in $4,688,436.
Wow.
I think Brad Rutter might be the one to beat.
So,
but if you're looking for a guy that changed the game,
that's who
that's
Kevin gets.
James Holzhauer.
Kevin's going to get James then.
Look, I don't watch the show because I don't need more things to remind me that I'm dumb.
But that is a good person to fall into.
All right.
Yeah, you got a good one.
All right,
then.
I'll take it.
That's the bet. And then we have to come up with the competition.
I'm not wearing a suit.
Well, my heart belongs to James, though, so this is very difficult
too late
for me. Jeopardy, the greatest of all time, will air between January 7th and January 16th. That is going to be a ratings bonanza.
Oh, yeah. Everyone, I'm going to tune in.
I'm saying. It's huge, you guys. Hey, Gwen Stefani. You know her debut solo album, Love, Angel, Music, Baby?
Yes.
Just songs like Rich Girl, Holla Back Girl, What Are You Waiting For? Huge album, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It was released in 2004, so they are honoring the 15th anniversary. She announced that the album is getting a remastered reissue due out on Friday. She also reissued a hoodie and a t-shirt from the original merchandise collection via her online store. Then on November 26th, Gwen will perform a medley of hits from Love, Angel, Music, Baby.
Is this part of it?
Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female. You got a $1 million contract, and you're still waiting for your hot track.
I hope she doesn't mess with that.
Like,
remaster, it's probably just going to sound crisper. That is beautiful.
Is it going to be just her, or she with all of No Doubt?
Oh, no, this is her solo album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the one that sold 15 million units worldwide. Holla Back Girl. Rich Girl, what are you waiting for?
I was more of a Save Ferris guy, so.
Okay. There's room for both.
Had a pick at one point.
Did you?
No.
Sort of.
Not really.
It was just like, you know, Scott.
You know what? Didn't
Scott
have to influenced pick.
Orange County, female lead. Yeah, you went one way or the other.
Wow. You okay. had to pick between women. Mm-hmm. You had to pit them against each other.
Well, it was a different
other,
time, Allie.
Because there were only two of them, he Allie. Says, on International
Allie,
Men's
it was
Day.
A, it was a different
this
time.
This is... Oh,
Allie, can we have one day without you fighting us?
Pill to swallow.
One day, us men want. Us white men. We want one day to finally make it. Finally get the chances we deserve. And you're pulling it away from me.
Next up, she'll perform out the NBC special Christmas at Rockefeller Center on December 4th. So all things Gwen Stefani, you guys, coming up right now. Hey.
Yes?
Hey.
I think I'll leave it till tomorrow, but...
Are you about to tease a story for tomorrow?
Yeah.
Stay listening to K-Rock.
What?
24 hours.
Listen, we'll give you some hints throughout the day.
Meet us back
here. Meet us back here tomorrow, and we're going to tell you about some ghosts at an Airbnb.
All right. What a tease.
Okay. Thank you. Right?
What's going on?
Not sure. Mm-hmm. Some birthdays for you. Matt Sorum, Meg Ryan, Allison Janney, Jodie Foster, Adam Driver, and Larry King.
Tonight, Snoop Dogg gets real and keeps it crack-a-lackin'.
It's very cool.
There's
it's
no better piece of tape.
Ever.
He's very cool.
In
amazing.
History.
Amazing. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. And your drive home, Tokel, helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, we have comedian Jeff Garland.
Yes.
Love him so much. And we've got more tickets, including night number two for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic.